I guess I should practice sneak insurance. See how that goes. Ugh.
Come on, man. You're cooler than that.
No, I'm not.
Hey, you can do whatever you want.
All they're like doing is casting Ponder and then being like, combo kill you. Veil of Summer. Does it resolve? Excellent. Kill you.
There's your intro.
Burning, wishing, and wishing, and wishing, and wishing, and wish for empty. Yeah. I'm trying to play some jank, don't start no trouble with me. Playing good decks, yeah, that's a struggle for me. Spice corner list from this weekend legacy. I just get excited, I book cards I don't see. I don't wanna die, but this hand's sketchy. But playing Delver just don't impress me. If 05's around, then come arrest me. Got 12 in the chat on twitch.tv. Got plans. I'm playing cards and mukbang well, yeah. Sometimes I win, most times I don't. And I don't know how to sideboard. I only care if it's tier 3. This combo's too easy to beat. But here's a card you'll have to read.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the legacy podcast that has no room for flavor text. My name is Quinn Omori, and I'm here, as always, with my co-hosts, Jeff Kinsey.
Hello.
And Brendan McBain.
That comment has Magecraft and a wall of text.
And just, why does every card in Strixhaven have, like, four paragraphs? I don't understand.
Well, they need to leave room to put the wrong name of the card in the text.
Oh my god, that's a whole...
Was that the first time that's happened?
First time I know about.
I can't think of...
The closest I can think of is, was it the first printing of Walking Atlas? That's just an an artifact creature, and like there's no type or anything?
Well, there's been like those things. Like there was that...
Oh, Portuguese... what's the Metalcraft counterspell? And the Portuguese one just has the metal
craft rebuttal
text.
Or something.
Yeah. Rebuttal, yeah.
So it doesn't actually say counter target spell. It just says metalcraft.
Like there's it. That like white black knight card that was like had an extra
2/2 for me.
Yeah. But like the card, like that's like, you know, there's maybe like if you're checking that, I guess not the metalcraft one, but if you're checking, you're like don't know by heart that it's a 2/2, which is like pretty reasonable. And you're like it's a 2/3, like. Checks out, like you just read the card and the name referenced in the text box is different than like I have done some editing in the past. I'm not a great like proofreader, but I feel like I would have caught that one.
It's literally like the one thing that's like duplicated out of all of the things.
Yeah,
it's like, you think because like you know the playtest cards that you see where it just says like solid brackets like card name. It's like when card name does this, card name that, and then they just like copy pasted wrong.
Control H,
like, yeah, find and replace.
Yeah.
Well, there's a who is the math guy? Frank Karsten,
yeah.
Frank Karsten tweeted out something about one of the cards has like four if or when clauses, and that's like the new record.
Yeah. Like, conditional clauses that like when this happens and then that happens and then this happens. To be fair, like the back end of it was like make a token and when the token dies it does this, like it's just describing what the token is. I felt it was a little generous, but you know, a record's a record.
You know, these cards are so simple and they have to keep them that way because players just don't understand the stack. Like we couldn't refer to that. So instead, we'll just put a fucking novel on like the uncommon.
Yeah. Anyways. They did print like Magus of the Radiate in the Commander set, which is fucking rad as hell.
What's Radiate?
What is again? That?
We were just talking about this today. It's Radiate is a very important EDH spell. It costs 3 and 2 red, and you target a spell. And basically, you make a copy of the spell for everything that spell could target. So if somebody casts Vindicate on your guy, you radiate it, that person vindicates everything. So they put that on a 5-mana 2/2 now. The ETBs and it hits abilities, so you can strip mine.
I did. Oh, yeah. We did see that. I did comment on that, or Quinn commented on that about strip mine. Well, but
Taylor tagged me because he was like, "This makes strip mine Armageddon." He tagged me, and I'm like, "I feel attacked, but also very well understood."
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't do this, but I deeply want to do it.
That's the best part about it, is that you don't put it in your deck. You just have the one card, and somebody does the other thing. Oh, sorry, man. Fuck, you fucked up.
I did say I would spite play that in Armageddon if someone just strip mined me, and I was like, really? You're gonna strip mine my bounce land when there's like a Field of the Dead over there? Like, well, let's just strip mine the whole board then. Lesson learned. Send a message.
I wish it was like a Willbender, like a morph creature. That would be great.
Oh man. Is there like a Schrodinger's morph?
It's Willbender, isn't it?
Until you look at it, then it's not Willbender.
Well, it's every morph.
Yeah, like it's every morph until you look at it, then it's Willbender. There we go. I need to write this down now. That's the title of the podcast.
Should I clean house? We're getting kind of messy here.
You got to clean something up.
Yeah. I have a list. An actual list that includes multiple types of events. So this is interesting. First off, the big event, the big show, a very, very big show. This Thursday, April 8th, probably going to be passed by the time this comes out, 7 a.m. Legacy Super Qualifier, the purpose for the God accounts, the reason for the season.
I'll take it.
Hoping to see some good turnout. I think we had pretty good turnout the last time. The Thursdays are always rough. You know, I know my own attendance is tentative depending on how some meetings and projects go. But, you know, cool to see. Happy to have the God accounts. We have some other Magic Online news. April is Mana Traders Legacy Month. So they're doing their normal thing where you can play matches and qualify for, you know, a tournament at the end of the month. I'm not partaking in that. I don't have a Mana Traders account. I don't think either of you do also, but I know some people that are and are asking me for some legacy lists. So it's cool, you know, like to see the format supported.
We're currently not sponsored by Mana Traders, I think is what you meant to say.
But that's right, we're not.
You're correct.
Very briefly, we were not sponsored, but we did have a discount. We no longer have either. I guess the one thing we did have, we don't have anymore. In paper legacy news, local paper legacy news, Puget Sound Battleground 3 delayed indefinitely. They posted something up this week saying, you know, that obviously this sucks, but they want to run it when things are 100% safe. You know, not 50, 60, 70% safe, but when it's perfectly safe to have a bunch of people in convention center. You know, duking it out. So TBD, hopefully, by the way, you know, vaccines and stuff go around here, we'll be looking at, I can't imagine it'll be any earlier than like that, a winter next year.
Yeah. Like winter, yeah. fall, winter at the earliest.
Yeah. So we'll have updates whenever, you know, that comes up. And in other paper legacy news, which doesn't apply to the Pacific Northwest and is maybe feels kind of sketchy on timing, but where it is, they're way better at vaccines. The Legacy Pit is hosting a 10K in Frederick, Maryland, September 18th. Tickets go on sale on April 12th. I know we had all said, I think we're going to fly to any reasonable tournament as soon as it exists. The way stuff's going in our province, at least, I don't think we're going to be prepared and vaccinated by then to fly to Maryland for a 10K. But you know, stuff could change.
10K case numbers, maybe, but yeah.
I also don't want to fly to Maryland, but hopefully survive, come back, and then quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that in the States, it seems reasonable, though. Like today, Biden said, like, any adult who wants to be vaccinated should be able to get one, like, by, like, the end of April or something.
That's great.
I've been just floored by the progress that they've been making on their vaccines. It's impressive.
Yep.
Not to get into the politics podcast, but it turns out if you have the capacity to make them, you have a much larger supply.
Fuck. Weird how that works.
Incredible.
And the only other actual housekeeping note that I have, I put down a tentative Canthresh stream while we have the God accounts up. I marked down, I haven't talked to Quinn about this at all, but I marked down the 12th.
It was in the minutes. It was in the minutes and he didn't change anything. So it's in there now.
It's like you knew that early in the week, I literally do nothing except the only thing I could possibly be doing now that we have those God accounts is playing Magic Online like I did from most of last night.
Perfect. We will lose some tickets April 12th. If you have any awful decks you want to throw at us, hit us up on Twitter. I think from us talking about it before, on the list was Kale's Teferi Stompy. Which, you know, should be a good way to lose some money. And there's something else that came up. Somebody linked some like Rootwalla deck.
There's that Rootwalla deck. It's like, that actually might be good. Like, it seems like kind of like the vintage one. We should play Nate's Painter deck.
Oh, that looks like a fucking pile.
The green Painter deck.
Oh yeah, I know. That looks awful. But
when your payoff is like Nantuko Blight Cutter, like, Nate, I don't know, man.
I like want to be on stream though. I already made the joke and like to reply to Nate's Twitter to be like me sewing. Yeah, this rules. Me reaping. Fuck, this also rules. If anyone didn't get that, we'll teach you about some cards from like Urza's block, hopefully on the 12th.
You know, I think that gets us closer to like the podcast summit too, if we just start taking the lists from other podcasts. So maybe we'll jump the line on that one.
He gave it to us. We could shout him out. We can send people to their Patreon. We'd even have one.
All right. That's some synergy. That's just smart podcasting.
So Quinn, you just mentioned God accounts and you spending all of last night playing. What have you been playing on the God accounts?
I intended to try a variety of decks. I've actually played three. I did two leagues with Ruby Storm. I did three leagues with more traditional Storm, Ant, not Tess. And two leagues with Infect. Well, the fuck, that's a lot of magic. Like Ruby Storm and Ant don't take very long.
How was it? How was Ant?
Ant seems like it should be decent. I suck at it. I also suck at Magic Online, so I lost a match because I put Infernal Tutor in the stack and I thought I was holding control. But I wasn't holding control.
We've been there.
So I tutored for, what was it? Oh, I had the Tendrils in hand. So I tutored for nothing because I only have one Tendrils in my deck. And then I just cast a Tendrils for Storm, was like six. It's great. Had a bunch of red mana floating for Pass and Flames. Ruby Storm, it's like powerful when it gets going. It actually like win. You can win through like counter magic too. Can't get Veil of Summered. I wouldn't say it's great.
It's so sick.
It's fun. It was super fun. Yeah, that's why like so Jeff, what day was that?
Oh, that was last weekly. That was last Thursday, yeah.
Yeah. Because it was Holly on a Friday.
Bane was supposed to show up, but he had a beer and fell asleep.
Actual dad form fell asleep when he was...
It was a couple, but yes. Oh, I'm not going to deny that.
What, you know, with the kids, though, dad was away. So instead of like chiding us and getting us to play a tier deck or something, instead of wasting our tokens, we played Ruby Storm together. We all had a few beers. What was the finish?
It was 2-3, I think. And then I think we lost, I think, two matches into another league. We had some good games, though. Oh, man. Bergie is a hell of a magic card.
Yeah. So is Bonus Round. I killed myself one time with Bonus Round as well. So another misadventure where I was like, should I put another bonus round on the stack? I have a billion cards in exile. I'm like, yeah, what the hell? Bonus round. And then I cast, what, like Hazoret's Undying Fury? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then it was like, your opponent wins the match. And I was like, what the fuck happened? And then I realized that I had drawn my whole deck.
You must have cast like a wheel or something in there.
Oh, because I guess that just exiles?
Because Hazoret's, yeah, Hazoret's doesn't draw, but you could easily have exiled, like, gotten your whole deck and then, like, cast a Metamorphose and been like, oh, fuck.
Oh, maybe it was 19. Metamorphose. Anyway, yeah, but there were, like, a million copies are going in the stack, and I was like, huh? And then I died, and I was like...
Those are the best. Those are the best Magic Online interactions, when something just happens, like, something just goes to the graveyard, and you're like, what's going on?
That's what it was. I cast the Hazoret's Undying Furies, and then they resolve one at a time. And when they resolve, they're like, do you want to cast these cards? It's not like they go into exile. It's just like, do you want to cast these?
Right. It's not like Mind's Desire. It's like, cast them right now.
Yeah. And so I was like, yes, I can't waste these cards. And then, yeah, one of them was a Metamorphose. And then all of a sudden I was dead and was just like, what? Oh, I see.
I don't know how the fuck George plays this deck in paper. As soon as there's like two bonus rounds happening, I'm just like, oh, okay. How much mana am I getting here? How many bolts is this? Like, what? And then when you have like Burgi, so you're tracking your mana that doesn't go away. And like, you have like, you know, a Ruby Medallion out. So you're like, all my spells cost one less, but they also give me a mana. And some of this mana doesn't go away in phases. So I can attack with Burgi and then cast stuff after. And then I'll play the horn and I can play these next turn, but I can't play these until, like, it gets so fucking complicated. There's like three different exile piles.
The horn is so sweet. We should maybe, so people who don't know this, Burgi is 2 and a red. It's a 3/3.
Yeah.
Every time you cast a spell, like any spell, you make 1 red mana, and until end of turn, that mana does not leave your mana pool.
It doesn't, between phases, it doesn't go
between
away.
Phases.
Yeah.
And then it's a flip card, and the other side is 3 and 2 red.
It's 4 and 1 red.
4 and 1 red? It's five. It costs 5. Horn of something or other.
Harnfell?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Wherever Briggy's.
The horn. Toot toot.
Yeah. She blows a horn. And when she blows her horn, you discard a card and it exiles the top 2 cards of your library, and then you can just play those till end of turn. And it's like obscene in that deck.
Yeah, both sides are nuts. And like, I know it works exactly how it does, but it always feels kind of insane to have Burgi and the horn out. It almost feels like they should be like the same legendary object.
And it's so much because you could run 4 then, you know, like you're like drawing two is totally fine.
I think that's the specific intent of those cards. It's probably to allow you to run 4 and to like play that out, and to also like have multiple game plans, or like depending on where you're at in a game, you're like, I'm going to play this side or that side. Like, I think it's great design.
I thought the intent was that they ran out of like room for the text, and so they're like, where do we put this? And they just flipped the card over and wrote on the back.
You're probably right. Yeah, like that's like the Occam's razor approach, right? Like when in doubt, the simplest solution is probably correct. So that's probably it, is they just ran out of printer room and it just started printing on the back, and that was it.
It can be one of those like Kamigawa upside down cards because there's not enough space.
Can you imagine? Can somebody please? I would love to see it mocked up as like a Kamigawa flip. Like the text is like fucking. That would be great.
The ultimate is going to be when there's Kamigawa actual flip cards. So it's like four cards.
Oh my god! It's just like, what direction is this facing?
It should be like one of the classic Kamigawa flips on one side, and like a split like fire ice on the other side.
Yeah. Are you playing best of one? Don't worry. You have like 9 cards in your hand when you're 5-card hand.
This one card is individually a creature, an artifact, a sorcery, and an instant.
Oh yeah. How does that work with Tarmogoyf?
It's only the front side.
Oh, okay. These are things, you know, you're playing Legacy Online, like maybe I would have looked up, but like, no. I just looked up.
This is why you play decks that just kill people. You don't need to worry about the details of like, oh, how big is this Tarmogoyf? It's just like, you're dead.
Actually, what I can tell you about Tarmogoyf, because I remember this from a cube, I think, that was on Magic Online. It had that, there's like a unicorn that has an adventure to like make a knight. And somebody had like Thoughtseize me or something, and I discarded it, and they played a Goyf, and the Goyf counted the adventure and the creature. This is not what it should be doing, but I was definitely, like you talked about McBain, where you're looking at Magical and you're like, something's happening. Why is this happening? Like, why is this so big? And you're like, creature? Like, okay, land. Why is this a 3/4? Fuck, Magical Line rules. It's like, well, so beautifully shitty.
The Brainstorm Ninjas bug is like an all-timer.
What's the Brainstorm Ninjas bug?
Explain.
So if you hit someone with Eureka Trigger, I think if it's like, I can't remember if there's two triggers, and you brainstorm in response to the triggers, and you put a cards on top. So let's say you put like Forceful Force, and you're like, sweet, I'm going to flip a Forceful Force, 10 damage, get them. The first one is the Force of Will, and the second one is just totally random.
Do you get like a random card?
Yeah, it's like that I guess that happens, like, it's not often that you get two triggers because you have like Changing Outcast or whatever, yeah. Right? But I mean, that's a pretty, like, doesn't happen a lot. But when it happens, that's like a game-winning play.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
And you put back a land, and then it just hits the.
That is that's like the 4D chess play. Is like, you're going to have one force. So you put the force on top, and the land second from the top, and you're like, hit the force, and you're like, it's not going to be the land. It's going to be a new card, and maybe I'm going to get them.
Yeah, well, and you get to like brainstorm shuffle.
Yeah, and you get a shuffle
in the whole effect. It's great.
Really, that feels like somebody copied like the Mind's Desire code and like put it on Eureka like by accident. You just shuffle in between each one. But like, they keep putting out cubes with like broken cards in it. Somebody was tweeting, they're like, you know, Watsy, like, this cube's great, I love it, but like, I picked Athreos, the new one, the one that puts coin counters on stuff.
Oh, the 6-mana one?
Yeah, that's all it does on Magical Line. It puts coin counters on stuff. They don't do anything. There's no other effect. You just get to put coin counters on things.
Oh my God. Change the cube.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of random bugs that exist on Magical Line that are cards like nobody really plays. And like, look, I mean, fix your bugs for cards, but I can kind of get it if it's some trash literally nobody's playing. But like, when you're putting that in a thing that people are paying to do, like, at least just a little test.
The best thing about that is, like, now, like, my scummy brain, I mean, I don't like to scum other players, but it's like scumming Hasbro, especially if I think about Hasbro now. I'm like, it's fine. I'm just putting the Athreos in my deck, putting it in, like, if I'm like, you know, 0-2, I'm putting it in like one game and like, you're trying to resolve it, putting a coin counter on something and being like, the Athreos didn't work, I just want to file for, like, can I just get my entry to the league back? Got him.
I'd be like, Quinn, you've just last picked Athreos in every draft, no matter what you're doing.
Put that maybe in the sideboard, play a couple dual lands and just resolve it one time.
Yeah, the Athreos, they're not coins, they're redemption counters. And it, on your upkeep, it puts a redemption counter on the card, and then you get to redeem your run. I think that's way funnier.
That's great.
It's gonna put put the counter on
and then concede, and then that's it.
This is like an unset card. It's like at the beginning of your upkeep, you may ask your opponent to refund you.
This might be a thing where, like, I'm like mad washed, so you guys might be too young for this. But did you ever like play like Street Fighter or like Mortal Kombat, and you put like a quarter up on like the edge
of
screen? Okay. I don't know how long that went on for. But it's just like, yeah, I got next. Put a quarter.
It at least survived into the 80s.
I think it's, you mean what?
I wish I was alive in the 70s. How could I be getting that jab in my arm if that was the case?
I'm pretty sure it's like a holdover from pool or something like that, where you put
you put the quarters across the pool table. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
That's much cooler people than us playing their billiards.
Are you sure you don't want to like brew an Athreos legacy deck? Like show and tell, put Athreos into play, file for redemption.
Wadzi, I'm pretty sure I would have taken down the super qualifier. I deserve repayment.
Like, think about it. You just put it in your sideboard. You have a 14 card sideboard. Like, that's the thing you have to consider. You're like 0-4 in a league. You're like, I can't get back to even. I can't even get play points. And you just like, is the Athros has to come in for game two. Resolve a show and tell. You put an Athros, your opponent's like, what is going on? You put a coin counter or something. Boom. Affected by this bug. It's free advice for anyone.
This is great.
If you're bad at Magic, free advice.
Like, and now, so, and there's God accounts right now. So like, it doesn't matter how expensive the Athros is because everyone wants it so they can start redeeming.
It's going to spike.
Like, you've got, yeah, you're fine. You can just play it anyway.
Oh man, so I had Jeff, to buy bonus been? Rounds.
Yeah, me too.
Fuck, talk about Watsy reimbursing. I had a pathway and a triome that I had to like sell.
So was Jumpstart always not included with the God accounts?
It's Battle Bond that's not.
Oh, sorry, Battle Bond.
So yeah, Jumpstart's in.
Jumpstart's
because,
in?
Because Arcane Artisan is in Jumpstart,
Wasn't Artisan in Battle Bond?
It was in Battle Bond. It got reprinted somewhere though, because Arcane Artisan is now available. It got reprinted in Commander.
Oh. Is Allosaurus Shepherd?
Yes, that one is for sure because I tested that in effect last time.
That was gonna be my question, because like, if that's the set they excluded, it's like, oh, it just has this one card, it's like 100 tickets. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so Arcane Artisan is in Keldheim Commander. And so now it's available online, which is last time I played Show and Tell online, I was like, I can't play Arcane Artisan, I guess. But like, yeah, why actually was Battle Bond never was released online, right?
No. It was in chess.
Oh, but that's the same as Jumpstart.
Yeah. It makes no fucking sense. Like even the like Walking Dead stuff, which like don't play it, it's terrible. But like why? Why is it included? Like if you don't include the fancy versions of shit, just to, I don't know, have people, you know, have something special for like, the cards they bought, like, sure. But when it's, like, literally the only version of the card, like, you're just gating, like, a fucking 70-cent
like,
Rick.
It's got to be easier to code to not gate anything, right? It's super right? weird. Like, you pull, I'm like, oh, I guess Old Art Blood Moon. I'm like, I guess Chronicles Blood Moon? I guess, sure, I'll play 8th Edition Blood Moon. Like, whatever. Oh, I'll play Invocation Blood Moon. Oh, that's allowed? All of the Time Spiral Remastered Old Borders are there? I was like chatting with an opponent and they were like, that Abrupt Decay looks awesome. And I was like, yeah, it actually looks pretty nice. Like online. And I'm like, I got that God account. So I just play whatever. And they were like, oh, I should do that. I have the God account too. And like, I'm going to switch up my thought seizes. I'm like, are they available? Cause they were also like, I was trying to play, it was like Blood Moon or something. And they're like, yeah, you can only play like the new border one. Like what's up with that? I'm like, oh, it doesn't make any sense.
It is really weird. Like, it seems like the hardest line through to set it up how they did it.
It's also like versions, like, I mean, the old Bird Blood Moon looks nice, but it's like, if somehow you've concocted like the ugliest deck imaginable, like you and only you can have it. Like these
Elliot's Maldings.
Yeah. You're playing some weird Battle Bond card nobody actually cares about. You did it.
I wonder if Breitling's free.
Not if it's just on Battle Bond.
Anyone I'm playing on.
So is that like the new slogan for the card, like card hoarder and stuff, where they just say like the real God accounts? Like we have all the
that's
cards.
Free. Take that. Think about sponsoring us. We can come up with more content.
Here you go. Quality content. Complaining about random design bugs in Magic Online.
But it's funny too, because like this is nothing to do with anything, but like because the cards like Allosaurus Shepherd River are included, it's like kind of a hit against the rental accounts. So like nobody's gonna start a rental account to just get like your four fucking bonus rounds, you know, because they're like less than a dollar each. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Like a lot of things Watsy does. It's very confusing.
Stop trying to make sense. I liked Quinn's thing the best, where he just said they ran out of space and they flipped the card over and they kept writing. Like, I think that's the level we're working on. And when you're trying to introduce like copy pasta from Mind's Desire coating into like Bergie's horn, and then like the error that was made. I think you're putting way too much. You're putting more effort into like the reconstruction of this mistake than they put in initially.
Right. Somebody had like
a SQL table and it's full. Like there's a limit set, and they don't know how to change the limit anymore because the code's so old, and they had to cut one set, and it was Battle Bond. They're like, oh, sure.
I figured the guy just had like half hour to do it before lunch, and then just like fucking forgot.
I know, we know what happens at lunch. That's when they do the banning. So,
Jeff, have you been on one Magic Online at all, or have you been playing the God accounts?
I've been playing Ruby Storm. We did our league together, which was a ton of fun, and then I finished out the other league we had, and it was quite bad. And then I fired up another one because I am a fan, especially on Magic Online, of like the pretty mindless games. You know, like you're kind of playing your own individual puzzle, and you have to be aware of your opponents are doing something, but like it doesn't really matter because, you know, you just go for it sometimes, and if it works, great, and if it doesn't, like, all right, next game. There's not like the big brain thinking for the most part, you know? So it's fun. It's easy to just burn time like between meetings or late at night, like signing up to play a D&T match even at like 7 p.m. if you maybe have something else going on, you're like, okay, I'm gonna think about this for a while. Like,
yeah, it's a real life decision here.
Yeah,
how much do I really want to commit? Like, I was in a similar boat with lands,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of like happy that I've switched off of it for a while because it was the same thing. Like, I would play a league over the course of like a week, where I would play like one match here, one match there, and then like maybe I'll run this back, and then you start the next game, and it's like plains, islands, tundra. I'm like, oh no! And it's like you're there for the entire clock, battling it out, and mm-hmm. yeah, it was fun, but and you got like really good with the deck and like learned how to play it well, but
it's work.
It's work. Like you are doing the push-ups every match. There's no free wins.
Yeah. So did you buy into a God account or anything right now?
No, I've been, again, thoroughly enjoying, like, to your point, the enigma of like doing your own thing and like your opponent's going to maybe do some stuff, but really like working on the complicated board plan and like strategy that is Eldrazi. Like it takes a lot of planning of like, I have like, two Eye of Ugin's in hand. I should probably play that first because they might wasteland it. And then I have my second Eye of Ugin. Like that is the big brain gotcha plays of Eldrazi. And I have to say I've been enjoying it. I definitely got a shout out from, I don't know, I posted in our little Slack channel. This was like a week ago, but it was definitely one of those like love the podcast.
Is that? Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I love the podcast. You're like, thank you, Chalice here.
Yeah, it was
my mind.
Here he is. It was KCC, and he's like, "Hey, yo, dig your podcast. Good luck." And I said, "Thanks, man. You too." And I was like, "Just out here sampling some metagame buffet," and then immediately like chaliced him and just went to town. And then, but he was on this like I posted a screen capture of the game in the.
Is this the, let me?
This is the. Some yes. highlights. Like,
if you want to go through some highlights, let's go through that because I think I have an idea of what he was playing.
It was some kind of like, I don't know. maybe you should start. It was like bug splashing things.
Okay,
it was like bug.
That's not where I was at all. No.
Okay, it was a Yorion pile to start. Like Yorion was the shell. But then it had like mainly green, blue, black stuff. But then it had like Valakut and Mox Diamonds and basically every good card under the sun in the deck. It was pretty wild. But we had some long, arduous battles. Usually it just came
like bug plug, like Yorion.
I don't know. The games kept going back to like revolving around Uro and me just like either dealing with it in some way. Like there was a game where I just like kept Caracasing his Uro and like he kept gaining life, but I just kept beating in with Eldrazi and drawing cards with an Endbringer. Anyway, it was
5x spell of all time.
Yeah, there's it was pretty fun. I continue to enjoy myself with the deck. Again, to your point of like just being able to like fire up a league and within like an hour and a little bit, like run through all the matches is really nice. And then again, like you get to sample all the things that are going on out there. People get a little bit, I'm sure, tired of like turn two thoughts or thought knots here, but
not
it's
you.
Fine. Not me. Yeah. Anything else other than Ruby Storm?
That's really it. I'm going to practice some stuff for Thursday that's coming up. Like I said, I think I'll have time to be able to actually play the event. I actually just messaged Jack, a friend of the show, just a minute ago to get his recent Esper Vile list to see if I can get some reps in.
Do you want to say a little bit more about that? A little bury the lead or?
Well, that's it. I'm going to leave that alone. But I'm going to try to practice some Esper Vile probably tomorrow. I guess it better be tomorrow if I'm trying to play on Thursday. And, try to get it up. That thing seems like the best flowing deck where I think my brain is in more of an Esper Vile spot right now than a D&T spot.
That is a weird thing to say, but I actually kind of makes sense as well. So
I've been playing a lot of like low power cubes where you have the same kind of synergy.
Right. Like some kind of popper or peasant
cube. Arena has a cube up right now. There's the Naga cube that's up on Magic Online. But, you know, everything, I just keep gravitating towards decks where you just have this like shell game, be it like Aristocrats or like bouncing, you know, where you're just like, this thing comes in and that moves and this dies and that happens. And I mean, that's the entire Esper Vile deck for the most part.
I know there's the Nega Cube. I heard that as like Mega Cube, and I was like, it's just like fucking like cleanse.
Let's just not say anything because there's nothing good to say.
I opened my pack and it's all Insurrections.
I was telling you there's 15 cards, but I swear there are only 12 cards. Count it again.
So, Jeff, if you were playing, you're planning to play, you would be sleeving up or registering Esper Vile right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. If I think there's kind of a situation where it's like, if I end up with time to practice and I have time to play, I'm going to play Esper Vile. If I end up where I don't have time to practice, but I am having time to play, I'm probably just going to play D&T and just be a little rusty at the beginning. And if I don't have time to practice and I don't really have time to play, I'm going to sign up and play Ruby Storm. It's hard to, you know, knock off, like really take yourself away from your day if you're playing like seven rounds of Ruby Storm. Like I can, you know, take away 10 minutes every hour.
Now, what if I'm just trying to like grid out the quadrant here that you're kind of going over. So like, what if you had time to practice and had time to play and actually wanted to win? Like, what would you play then? Would you play the same deck?
Probably Esper.
Yeah.
Probably Esper. Yeah.
It's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong. And it lets you be actually like proactive. I mean, D&T is fine, but I haven't been playing enough. This is kind of why it's dumb also for me to not practice and then try to play D&T, is I haven't been playing enough Legacy Online to know what is going on with like the meta in general. And that's really rough to play D&T just as like I am a, you know, D&T forward pilot, not like I'm a D&T pilot in this world or that world. So Esper at least can kind of hang. Obviously, you have to play fucking Meddling Mage, so you need to have some idea what's going on. But
that was always the thing that scared me about those shell game decks, is, or like the decks that just inherently aren't powerful, but they're like they're like cunning but not powerful, and you can like, you know, build a structure and assemble a game plan that's going to win, but you really have to be in tune with what's going on.
Right.
And if you're not, like you're leaving wins on the table and not knowing where you went wrong. And there's not really like a way to be like with Meddling Mage, it's a little bit obvious. Like, yeah, I probably should have named Show and Tell and not Brainstorm. Like, sure. But those edges that separate a good D&T pilot or a good Esper Vile pilot from the more just the mediocre ones are like hard to build. Or hard to really get better at that.
Right. It's like, it's a matter of like knowing what's good in that moment versus knowing, you know, what's good in that matchup. It's yeah. It's almost like the kind of like, you know, level two Cabal therapy, where it's not like you're naming what you think they have. It's like you're naming what you're going to lose to.
Well, it's that's like secretly that the level one Cabal therapy. That's just called a good Cabal therapy.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. I give you plenty of ammunition to dig on me. That's not one of them. Because like everybody with Cabal therapy, I know I'm guilty of this too. And you cast, like, I got to get cards out of there. Hell yeah. And then you name some shit that doesn't even fucking matter. But you're like, I got two of them. Yes.
Like, it's not bad, but it's bad.
Yeah.
It's not what you should be doing.
Yeah. And like Esper Vile has that, obviously, Meddling Mage, and then D&T, not really so much now, but like back in the day, you'd play like the sign also, like somebody who's like practiced D&T is like they play a Revoker on two after your opponent plays like an Underground Sea, and you're like, you get it. You know, like, I've got a Soul Reed, you know, you're on at the time it's like Liliana the Veil or like, you know, Deathrite Shaman, which isn't much of a Soul Reed, or it's like, you know, LED, and you're just and they play fucking Gurmag Angler and like, you know, you do lose, but
yeah, really that's just like some kind of EV calculation there of like what's the most likely. But yeah, like I, again, for those shell game decks, the people who actually sit down and build like a whole guide, like apparently the Esper Vile one was enormous, but like to have things like that, that people can, who are learning the deck, go back and reference, who actually want to understand how to do something, is super helpful and is the only way that I would ever approach a deck like Esper Vile. I would never just like sleeve it up and go somewhere. That just sounds insane to me. Mm-hmm. Like D&T is probably the closest I would ever get with something like that. Yeah.
This is apropos of nothing. It's far from the deck you're describing, but I just thought of this now. Do you guys remember that Doomsday Tinfins deck?
This is like, like a sideboard? Like
you had like a transformational sideboard into like Tinfins?
I do, yeah. Loosely, I remember the idea of it, yeah.
I got to find one of those lists. I was like super excited about that and never got it together to play in paper. But that's what I wanted. I mean, I don't know if I want to do that on like the
Super like Qualifier. Tonight, but tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a league, that sounds great. Like that's exactly what I want to go up against when I'm playing Eldrazi into all these random decks. Is I just cue Eldrazi into everyone like that wanting to have their magical Christmas land, and I just start playing Chalices and Leyline of the Voids and Thought Nuts here.
Yeah. But the last thing I wanted to say about the little chunk I was talking about was I think myself, and maybe you, McBain, also, we really seem to like decks and cards that have like novels written about them. Like, you know, friend of the show, Dugues, wrote, I've linked this before, the Dynamics of Rashadenport PDF. That's like a 14-page PDF on like when and how to use Rashadenport. You know, Johan VL or whoever wrote that like million-page guide on Esper Vile with all of like the sideboard notes and general like deck philosophy and like concepts of naming stuff in the dark. Jack Kitchen, I think if you dig through his source posts, has probably, you know, the equivalent of like the length of Lord of the Rings in like how to play Painter and like what the Painter mindset is. I like
going back to like 2012. Yeah.
I just want to point out, because I feel like you missed this one. There's an entire book on Brainstorm.
Bah.
Just throw that out there.
Bah. That's a gimme.
I think the ultimate, maybe I'm just a fanboy, the ultimate for me is always like Steve Mindindian stuff where he just dives into it and then like really, really dives into it. Like an entire novel on the gush. And then like going through all the different examples and how you would stack it in all the different games. And then like, here's actual game situations. And here's all the decision trees that we can do. It's
an actual book. Understanding.
Yeah. Gush, yeah, there's a literal book on gush.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
If you're on this vibe, Jeff, if your brain is in that quadrant, I don't know if that's the Esper Vile quadrant, but go read some old Steve Mindindian stuff. And it's just, it's exciting.
I'm just
thinking. True Jeff fashion. He's gonna play Gush, but actually Fathom's here.
I'm just picturing meeting up with some of like Gravine's friends. And so you read any good books lately? You into like, you know, what kind of books? Like fiction? I'm like nonfiction.
Nonfiction, they're actually just double face cards that have both text boxes full. That's what I'm into right now.
What do you read about? Mostly islands, you know. Just like
tropical,
islands
and
like
volcanic
resource management. Oh, so like environmentalism? Like, yeah, you could say that.
Like, I don't want to gush about it or anything, but you know.
Oh god. Okay, so somebody else take over.
Just to finish on the Steve Menendian thing, he played Legacy a lot in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and wrote extensively about it. And all his articles are still on Star City Games. And you can go back and he'll like detail what the Legacy metagame was like, what the recent deck showings were, the recent ban announcements, and like really gives you an idea of like the look and feel of Legacy 10 or 12 years ago, which is pretty cool because I would say the majority of Legacy players don't know that time. Mm. Like outside of like some of the stalwarts like Julian or Brian Cook, like who've been around for a long time. Well, or Brian Kovald, but there's just not too many people, and it gives a really good accounting of the ongoings back then.
I wonder if they're going to do like they did for Vintage, where they had set up the different like ages and eons on that. So their 100th episode of So Many Insane Plays.
Yeah, it was their 100th one. Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see Legacy broken up the same way, where it's like between new card entries and like the major like meta shifts between bands and stuff, like historical from like day zero.
Right. Yeah, I think they had it described as or detailed as. Anytime you added a new card or banned something, it was a new format. And so formats would only ever exist for like, you know, 6 or 8 months or less than that. But, and then from there, they kind of had like the eras. So like in whatever it was, 2007 or 8, when Brainstorm and Pond were restricted in Vintage, it like ended an era and the new time began. And, or like particular sets, like when Mirrodin first came out in 2002 or 2003, like that totally upended. Like that was the 2019 fire policy of Vintage back in 2002. And like the clamoring of the community and everything, like you can go back again and read some of Steve's stuff. Cause he's just such a good detailer of the ongoings. Like you can get exactly that vibe of people being like, this is ridiculous and they should just ban everything from this set. Because it was like a really heavy artifact set, mm-hmm. and totally blew most of the archetypes out of the water and changed everything. And then everyone was running around with 4 Trinisphere, 4 Chalice of the Void and all sorts of stuff in their decks. Yeah. So yeah, it would be cool to see for Legacy. And it's always interesting, like that whole thing of like, you feel like you've been doing it forever, but really you've only ever played for a little sliver of something. Hmm. So, Quinn, if you were playing, or you are playing the Legacy Qualifier, what are you intending to sleeve up?
I'm on the fence. I have played.
What are you considering to sleeve up then?
I've played a lot of leagues. I think I 3-2'd one, and then I've been like 2-3. I did 1-1-4 with Ruby Storm. Not that I was like seriously considering Ruby Storm, and I played a lot of leagues that way. I guess I'm not really considering Ant either because I'm not good at it. But like my infect games have been fine. I think I like there are a couple like punts where I lost some winnable matches. There are a couple of times I think I got unlucky. But I'm like not feeling like great about like the actual deck and how to play. I think I might test Sneak and Show and see how it goes today or tomorrow. But I was telling Jeff, I think before you logged on, McBain, where I was like, I would rather. Actually, if Thursday and Friday off, but I would rather, if I'm going to spend all day Thursday playing Magic, just play leagues with decks that I think are interesting. And then if I lose, I don't care. Yeah. Versus if I'm feeling bad about either how I'm playing or how my deck's positioned or a combination of both. You know, being around 4 at like 2-2, being like, play round five, and then be like two, three, being like, ugh, like I guess I'll play like one more because I paid for it. Versus, you know, when I was like 0-3 in a Ruby Storm league, I was like, whatever, let's go Ruby Storm, like try and resolve Medallion. Countered, okay.
So you're just saying that you feel that you'll get more utils out of your token by not playing in the tournament?
Yeah, like I'd rather buy like 2.5 leagues and do badly than pay $25, you know, for the second token to enter this and then be like, you know, 1-4 drop or something.
The mental pressure is different for sure.
Yeah. Like I like, even like right now I'm playing an Infect League and I'm having fun. I obviously love playing Infect, but it's like, I'm trying to play super tight and I'm like, cause I'm trying to practice and it's just like a little bit different. I think for me, and I know obviously this isn't like true of everyone, being at like a physical Magic tournament, it's like, okay, like get in the zone and play my match. And then there's like things after that that are kind of like to relax. And like, I like being there, you know? And so there's two sides of that. One, it's like kind of easy to decompress and like you're there for other reasons. And then because you're there for other reasons, if you do badly, it's like, you know, whatever, like who else is doing bad? Like let's pack war, like, hey, I brought old school, play old school. But I'm not like super into just playing like high pressure legacy, like in a vacuum, I don't think.
So you're going to register Infect.
That's what I'm going to play Sneak and Show, see how it goes. I might just I might just like wake up. The other thing too is that like I usually go to Liz's on Wednesday nights, since I'm like going to do that tomorrow too. And then if I like sleep in, then I just won't play. And if I don't sleep in, then I'll like leave her house at like 6 a.m. and then register. And if it's full, then I won't play. I'll go back to bed for a bit, wake up, bug you guys while you're playing, and then be like, I'm also playing Doomsday with the Tin Fins transformational sideboard while you're between rounds. Should I stream it on Discord? And so like, we'll see. I'm having fun playing Legacy. And I think I was like, even like the first Infect League I ran, I wasn't really thinking about practice. I was just being like, what's out there right now? So we'll see. I am like 80 or 90% against like Delver with like any deck right now, which seems absurd. I'm just losing to almost everything else.
There's a lot of Delver.
There is a lot of Delver, which is why I'm like hovering around 50%, but usually on like the bad side of variance to like not get my money back in leagues. There is like, man, there's so much Delver though.
Yeah. That's one thing that stuck out, and like lots of different kinds of Delver, but
yeah,
there's a lot of Delver.
I lost to bug, some weird bug Delver pile playing Ant, and I just lost to Grixis Delver playing Infect, but I'm like 100% against Rug and blue red Delver, with like Infect and Ant, which I mean, that part feels pretty good. McBain, are you playing?
No, I'm not able to play. If I was playing, I would definitely just be sleeping at Eldrazi. One, because I don't know, I've really been gravitating towards just like inherently powerful decks. Same thing, like I'm sure, but it's kind of drawing you to Sneak and Show or something where it's just like, you can just win. Like if the cards line up, like it's very hard for your opponents to overcome it. And I've been enjoying that. It's really as simple as that. Like, I did like a few months ago in the winter, I enjoyed playing Rug Delver, even though it was pretty mindless with Arcanist, honestly, like where you actually have to like think about things and you're playing against Doomsday and it's like, okay, well, three turns ahead, I have to do this because they're going to resolve Doomsday and I have to play around the Edge of Autumn. And like, that's all well and fun. But again, just being like, you're almost like never reactive with Eldrazi. It's always proactive. Like I am playing my lock pieces, or I'm playing my threats and then my lock pieces, or both at the same time. Those are the combinations. And I'm going to attack you. There's not too many games that devolve into like these really weird interactions. However, I have Warping Wailed a lot of cards. That's like my one reaction card. And good Lord.
I love it's like the one time you put on the brakes. The rest of the time it's like Chalice, you know, Endless One, Thought Not, Endbringer, And then there's like those turns where you're just like tick, tick, tick.
It's like you just can't play around it too. You know, like in most situations, because like your Eldrazi opponent has two cards in hand and you're like, they left mana up. Is that because they have two Ancient Tombs in their hand?
Or no, it's usually like two Eye of Ugin's, like
yeah, they have two cards just rotting nothing, in their hand. Right?
Yeah.
Like they would have played it out and like maybe they have the Whirling Wheel and they're like, fuck, show and tell, like Whirling Wheel, like God damn it.
Yeah, I've had a number of those. I definitely got a JPA on that a week or so ago where I just scraped out a 2-1 against him and that was that. But yeah, Whirling Wheel has been a blast. But the deck is like literally just this, it's such a cohesive, like consistent deck that over the years, I think the only real big change to it has been the introduction of Once Upon a Time. I'd say that's the only like significant change to it. And even that was like a little bit of a conversation, but I've been really, really enjoying Once Upon a Time.
I remember spotting somebody playing Once Upon a Time Eldrazi when we were at Eternal Weekend last time, just in like the regular, you know, side events. And I think we're all kind of peeping eyes on it. Like, what the hell's going on over there? And I remember having some like debates about whether or not that's like, you know, good or not. Well, it seems like the verdict's in by now.
Yeah, there's been some math on it where they'll look at the odds of like having, if you have four Once Upon a Times, your likelihood really increases in like the first 10 turns of the game of like drawing one of them, as opposed to just starting with it in your hand. And like with three, it's a lot less. So three is kind of the optimal in that regard, and it minimizes the potential dead draws that you get. I haven't had any, very rarely do you ever like Spirit Guide in Once Upon a Time or something like that. But generally it's really good at just like finding that Thought Not Seer or finding that Soul Land that you need.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like, I need to deploy this chalice, and you're like, okay, well, it's going to be a Soul Land in the top five. Like you just have so many of them. So anyway, that's what I would be playing. Again, I'm not so much about like, I want fast matches, I want to get leagues in or anything like that. It's just like, I've been enjoying just like the proactive, like having a game plan and just executing in on it. And there's not like this big, I need to hold up this thing to make sure I cover that. Like the whole, it's as far away from Esperval as you could probably get in terms of a shell game and like considering 18 things at once. But it's definitely what I've been enjoying. Like, but in paper, like I've kind of been doing a bit different in playing Maverick for the last 2 weeks. It's really the first time I've ever really been sleeving up Knight of the Reliquary. And it's been pretty fun so far. There's definitely a lot of like weird interactions.
Hearing both of those things, and like, you're right that like, I'm like, I should try Sneak and Show because maybe I'll be like not losing so much because there's inherent power, you know, jump. But I think this, I like playing cantrips. I think so, even like both the Eldrazi thing compared to like Sneak and Show, or like Maverick compared to like, I don't know, like Infect or some other deck that's a little more like there's stuff going on. I just like playing Ponder and Brainstorm. And even in like the mono red deck, like Act on Impulse, what mode of Jeskai's command? Will? Jeskai's will?
Jeskai's will, yeah.
Yeah. Like that kind of thing. I just like drawing cards.
That card's also fucked.
Drawing cards.
Like
Jeskai's will?
You cast it. It's like, oh, I got six mana.
Oh, when you like turn one it on someone, like you're just like play the Ruby Medallion and then they're like, they didn't counter it. You're like, okay, pedal. Like Jeskai's will, make seven red.
The moments of playing the deck when you can sniff the F6, oh man.
Oh, or when you just know, when you play something and it just like resolves, you're like, wow, really? I just never F6 against Storm, unless I'm just like, you know, if you got it, I'm dead, I have one card in hand or something. But if I have like cards and I'm like, there's decisions for them, you're like, do they go? I'm always just like, okay. I respect it because it's like gutsy, but it's just bold to be like, I have a full grip F6. I'm like, okay. Ding, 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 ding.
That's one other subtle thing about playing Eldrazi online is you can do the option of like have no plays, yield, or like skip if I don't have plays.
I hate
Gen- generally you don't have plays. So like you end the game with like 23 minutes on your clock. Cause
I do that anyways.
Yeah. No, I like with lands, you have to do it. With a lot of decks, you just have to do it. It's good clock management, but it like aggressively F6s you basically a lot of the game because you just don't have actions.
Every time I hit that, guaranteed at least once, I go through my combat step because it skips. Like I always have like, you know, the beginning of combat stop. And when you have that on, it goes right through it. You don't have anything to do. So I'll be like, well, it's not time to attack yet. And I'm like, yeah, F2. And then it's, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I've done that as well. I think even against that game that I was talking about with the Jaces and Valakuts and Uros earlier with KCC, I think I did that where I skipped through one of the attack steps. I was like, whoops, get loose.
I have killed myself with bonus round / Manamorphos, and I have not hit control when I was trying to tutor, but I have not skipped through my turn one by F6ing by accident, which is, I don't know. I feel like I've done that like anytime there's been God accounts and most cube seasons, just one where I like someone texts me or I'm like playing another game on my phone and I just hit the button and go, oh, that was my turn. Fuck.
Yeah. I probably do that once a year, maybe. And it always just feels the worst. You're just kind of like, oh. And then when you come back and win it, it feels like you're a genius. But
there was one cube season where I was like looking at something else and being like F6. I got to my discard phase and I'm like, oh fuck, I guess I just discard Griselbrand and then drew Reanimate and was just like, just like we drew it up. Oh yeah.
I had the opposite of that where I mulliganed, kept my six, and then thought I was putting my pregame action ley line into play against Dredge, but instead bottomed it. And then I was just like, where'd my ley line go? Yeah, that was one of those ones where you just like, we're done for the night, folks. Like, yeah, I didn't win that game, didn't win that match. You rarely lose to Dredge. I was like, okay, we're done. We're done now. Like, yeah.
I accidentally started a match, a post-board match with 62 cards. That's like the worst thing that I've done this season.
Well, I don't know. It's exciting that you at least have the opportunity to play. And like, there's a lot of people who, you know, the time just doesn't work or they have life commitments and it doesn't work. So it's great that you at least have it, which is good. If I was providing my thoughts, I would say that it sounds like you're kind of leaning towards sneak and show, honestly.
I'd have to run a league. I haven't played it at all because I spent so much time just like losing with Ruby Storm and regular Storm. Two decks, like I like Ant a lot. Ruby Storm is, I'm actually interested in building in paper now because it seems fun. Ant is a deck I would like to become proficient at, but like, I certainly am not. I think I'm much better than when we streamed it. But that's not saying much. But I like would have played in a 9-round tournament, and I like should have waited till after Thursday to run these decks, and I should have been playing like Omni, Sneak and Show, Infect, Reanimator. So I have to see how Sneak and Show goes. I haven't played a lot of Sneak.
That's good. Cool.
It was like Irvine cameo. She's got delivery food. Jeff, what are you eating?
Date bars. Hell ooh. Yeah.
I thought they were ribs, but Gervine is a vegetarian, right?
No? Ribs? Yeah, she's a vegetarian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were ribs, and I'm like, that way I can't.
Oh, ribs. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely heard riz, and I was like, what is riz? What are you talking
about? Sorry, I'm French now. It's a rice. For you uncultured Anglo swine.
the bilingual Canadian legacy podcast.
It's called inclusivity. Look it up.
Just as a side comment, when I was playing the old school event that was put on by Montreal Tundra Wolves, the Tundra Wolf Challenge 4, when I was playing that, maybe I mentioned this. Did I mention this last time? I don't know. Maybe not. But anyway, the judges were always announcing in like English, French, and everything was English, French. And it just had like a very Canadian vibe to it rather than just here where it's just, you know, go to the black zone. here's your cards. Like, and it's just, it just felt so normal. Like, whereas this is like, it felt like you're more in, I guess, central Canada where French is much more common.
Did it feel like more official? Cause I know if you go to any, you see any like, you know, governmental thing here, right? They always
do. It was like English to follow. And then
the French. Yeah.
Well, if it's federal, they always do French and then English.
Whatever.
Yeah. Then make you scroll down like English to follow. Oh, okay.
You fine. Don't need to watch like a press conference or something. And they go, bonjour, aujourd'hui.
Yeah. And they squat back and forth. And then like the guy comes on and keeps talking. Yeah. Anyway, I really liked it. And it was definitely a different vibe. It did feel a lot more official, but a lot more Canadian as well.
How can we like juice up the Canadian levels of our local tournaments? We could just talk in French also.
That's yeah, we can cooler. Do like the Montreal, like anytime you go to a bar or restaurant in Montreal, bonjour, hello. And then you say bonjour in your Anglo accent and they go, oh, okay, so the special today is this and we'll like seat you at this table. Like immediately, like, oh, I speak English now. Okay, good try. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That reminds me, nothing to do with Magic at all, but Gravina and I went to Amsterdam a couple years ago. And I was kind of worried going there, but not really knowing Dutch at all. And I tried to look up like, you know, a little bit to at least be able to be like, you know, I don't speak Dutch. The entire time we were there, there was only one person that ever didn't just speak English to me, even like from the first word. And we sat down at this restaurant and the person said something to me in Dutch. And I kind of looked at them and then went, oh, sorry. Like, what can I get you? Very weird.
I feel so uncultured all the time. Like when we'd be traveling with a bunch, like, and you meet up with a bunch of Europeans and it's just like three languages going around and you're kind of just sitting there twiddling your thumbs. You're like, huh, this got real, eh? I got nothing. Yeah. Got my Spanish, like really low level Spanish under my belt. And then that was it.
Are you like Duolingoing it?
I traveled there for a number of months and just kind of like picked it up
Spain?
Then. But I did try to do the Duolingo to like one, work on like grammar and then two, just make sure I was recalling things. Did that for a while. I haven't done it in a while, but it's not super high on the list.
I'm on that. It's quarantine time. I'm on the 89-day streak for Japanese.
Wow.
Well, can I speak Japanese? Nihongo shabu dame desu yo. Like two people are going to be like, haha.
And it's not going to be us.
No.
I'll put it in the show notes later so you guys can figure it out.
I'll just hold it up to like a translator and see if it gets it.
I do that sometimes. Gravine will talk to her grandparents. This is so far from Magic Talk.
I know I'm about to cut you off. But
in Punjabi when they talk on the phone and I'll just put my phone up on like Google Translate to just like try to get like the translation. And then she finishes. I'm like, what were you saying about the minister? And she's like, what are you talking about?
The ultimate eavesdropping. All right. That's
circle the wagons.
Once we said minister, it's time to wrap things
that
up.
Circle the wagons doesn't mean that. We're gonna circle the wagons, defend the shit out of Google translating to eavesdrop on your significant other. It's ethical and you should do it.
But you know what? It's actually a really good move from her because it could be 100% accurately translating shit and she could be like, that's not what it means. And I'd be like, fuck.
Google sucks. Gravine's next leveling you already.
All right, McVane, I'm done. I'll push it up to you.
Well, let's close the show with our final section of That's Gas. I'm pushing it back to you, Jeff. What do you got?
Oh, I just took a drink. I wanted to shout out the MinMax blog run by Max Torsion and Min. They just had an article too. Guest writer Lynn Chalice wrote about their very specific brand of garbage pile control decks. This one at least has a good name. I think it's the Queen's Gambit. Good old Queen Marchesa. Oh, I'm lying, actually. This is just about good control decks. I did read this earlier, but Lynn Chalice is so stuck in my head with Queen Marchesa. So this is just about control, but it's a very good article. And Min and Max do a really good job with the website. Once the bans were done, they just slammed right in with like the Min-Max battle where they just did four, you know, decks they're excited to play after like Dreadhorde's gone. And also, I have been set up to play some Monster Hunter with Min, so I have to squeeze this in.
Well, maybe on that, I had kind of two things that I wanted to mention. One, I'll say the first one to the end where you ended, and then the next one will go into what Quinn wants to say. So I don't know if it's gas yet. I'm still kind of dabbling, but I guess it was you or whoever, but I downloaded the whole Monster Hunter thing. You were all talking about it. And I was like, I've never played this before. I'll try it out. And I've definitely put some hours in and I've been enjoying it so far. I was trying to play the bow today and I was just like, as soon as you try a different weapon, it's like you're playing a different game. You're like, I can't do anything. Like nothing works. You feel like an idiot. But yeah, it's been a fun game. I've definitely, it sounds like the old versions of that game were like original WoW, where you needed like everything and there was materials for everything and you needed materials for your materials and everything took forever to never do anything. And then you maybe killed something once, one time, and you like remembered it forever because it was the only thing you ever did. There's that. But so that's been moderately gas. I'm still not a full gas on it yet, but what is gas? It sounds kind of cheesy, but our listeners are gas. And all of the little comments that people will put on like the Reddit or send us emails or respond to our Twitter about the episode or little jokes or corrections. I get a lot of those. are awesome. And I really like it. And even like the little like, you know, you're just playing Magic Online and you think you're just, you know, burning some time, having a fun time. And then someone recognizes you and says, hey, I love the thing. I love what you do. This was really funny or that was really funny. Like, that's just really cool. And it makes it a little bit more real. And you kind of go, oh yeah, we do that. Right. I forgot about that. So it's gas. And I really enjoy seeing those little comments and feedback and especially the corrections. Quinn.
I want to, that's gas, bacon, lettuce, tomato, which is like a S tier MTGO name for one. But two, for jumping into the chat to say, I'm paraphrasing, so maybe one of the funniest or the funniest Magic podcast.
This is on Magic Online?
Yeah, I think we think we're funny. I always thought that no one else would. But like, yeah, like you said, McBain, like that kind of stuff, it's like we just do this for fun, right? And so that kind of thing means a lot. So wanted to thank them for that and also for not making fun of me for pressing submit and playing a 62 card deck in our game 3, which is not why I lost because I played badly and they played very well. But yeah, thanks. I would echo that too and say this is a particular moment that is recent, sticks out in my mind. And but yeah, we appreciate all the kind words from people.
That actually reminds me, I need to circle back and add
another. Oh no, you're done. The wagons have been circled. You've gassed, like it's over.
This one's important because at Easter, I did like a family Zoom thing and my dad was asking how this is going. And Quinn sent me a message about an hour later because my dad followed the podcast on Twitter. So shout out, Dad. Hope you're listening.
I hope he's ready to see all like the hot magic takes that I don't put on my main.
Of note too, he doesn't follow me. He just follows the podcast.
He just wants to vote on which Resto Angel, you know, art is the best. He wants to see retweets of like the sick bad legacy decks. What if like fast forward to like 3 months from now? How much of a own is it if your dad owns more Tundras than you?
that's a pretty big own. I will be sad.
Jeff, did you want to say anything about potential cards that you might be picking up just to make it a little bit more real in your mind?
Oh, I'm getting a Gilded Drake.
You are?
It's exciting. I am. I'm getting one from where? Elliot.
Frenemy of the show.
Yeah, frenemy of the show.
Elliot has a Gilded Drake?
He does.
He's had it forever.
He could be scamming me. I might need to bring a loop. I don't know.
No, I think you're fine.
Yeah, he said he bought it.
Bane, how you just serious? Like, I think you're fine. I'm like, yes, I also think that he's not selling him a counterfeit gift. I agree.
Yeah, he pointed out that he bought it for like $20. So he's giving me a good deal on it. So that's good.
I think he's just trying to. Yeah.
Did we do that song yet? Give me the loop. Give me the loop.
Put that in the note somewhere. We're going to save that one for later. We're running low.
Well,
anything else before we wrap up, guys?
Any other family members I got to go back to? I think we're good.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to do it. I was going to say, where can they find you, Quinn?
Quinn O'Mori on Twitter.
McBain. You
can find me at Servant Painter on Twitter.
It's so well rehearsed.
Jeff.
I'm on Twitter at JeffDKK. You can find us all on Twitter at the Canadian Threshold.
At Canadian Thresh. and also twitch.tv/TheCanadianThreshold.
Yeah.
On April 11th. 12th.
12th. April 12th. 12th. Monday. Sometime.
Monday.
Probably like, I don't know, six, somewhere around there. We'll tweet about it. We'll play a bad deck.
We'll give you all the subs, but you won't need any because you should sub someone else. That is a waste of your sub. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you all in 2 Thresholds.
Perfect.